Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Floor on Thursday, the 20th of October, recording at 9:32 p.m., and that's still British summer time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were mostly weaker. Among the bigger declines, the Hang Seng Index down 1.78%. The Australian market, the ASX 200 Index, down 1.63%. European stock markets were hit harder for the most part, particularly Italy and Spain, over concerns about the rescue package. And Germany was down 2.5%. Now, that selling pressure spilled over into the Americas, with markets closing mostly lower, although Wall Street rallied towards the close, pared back its declines, the Dow ending up 37 points and the S&P up 5.5%. That's just under half of 1%, 5.5 points for the S&P, taking it up to 1215. NASDAQ a little easier. Long-dated government bond prices, for the most part, rallied a little bit, but not in the U.S., where they were a little bit easier. U.S. dollar is a little bit softer. Bigger story in the markets, precious metals were weak today, although they closed off their lows. Gold's currently trading at 1621. Had been as low as 1604. Platinum currently trading at 1499, had been as low as 1466, but it's still down over $24 on the day, and gold's down $20 on the day. Industrial metals were all weaker today, and copper took a big hit, down to 308 in the States. And it's far easier to cite the commodities that did not fall today. See, natural gas is up a tiny bit. Corn and wheat had small gains. And I think Brent crude also is a little higher, $109, I should say. And change, and but that was not reflected by the WTI, which is down 81 cents at 85.30. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, a lot of nervousness in the markets, and that's because we've got this weekend package announcement coming up that France and Germany are still haggling over, or negotiating, if that's describing it unkindly. And so people are concerned about that. And then, of course, you've had a lot of media coverage, I gather, of riots in Greece. Now, we need to put that into perspective a little bit, because Greece, I believe, is a $350 billion economy, so it's tiny. And you could really say that China's economy will probably grow by about three Greeces over the next 12 months, if it doesn't slip too much. And the far bigger story, in my opinion, is whether or not China and also India are going to hold off too long, or persist, I should put it another way, persist with their monetary tightening for too long, and causing more economic weakness than they would actually like. That would have reverberations. Certainly the Chinese move would, and I think would obviously not be good for the global economy overall. And it is a risk, because they do still have the inflation pressures to deal with. And central banks tend to be reactive, so once they're on a course, they tend to continue with it until something very clearly goes wrong, and then they react and start to cut rates. You might remember in 2008 that they were all happily raising rates until the stock markets started to melt down. And then they paused for a while, and then when the decline really accelerated, they moved in and cut rates. So that concerns me a little bit. I feel that actually the most important decision that I would like to see in terms of being good for the global economy, it's not what comes out of Europe, more on that in a moment, but it is really what happens with China's economy, which is still growing at a good clip. But as I've already said, I'd like to see them commence with or at least announce that their tightening process is over for the time being. And I think they could justify doing that, not on the basis of lagging data, but on the basis of the overall global trend. But they're going to do what they're going to do, and that's for sure. And the situation's complicated slightly because we'll have a change of leadership in the not too distant future, and the current rulers may not want to change policy beforehand. They might want to lead it to their predecessors, who may decide to hang tough for a little while longer. Meanwhile, going back to Europe, Greece again emphasizes is not important in terms of its economic size, but it's a bit of a litmus test for sentiment in the region generally. And the feeling is that we're going to need a very, very big bailout package here to mollify the markets for a while. And Europe has attempted to do things on a more incremental basis. So I think it's going to be a nervous Friday probably, and a nervous weekend as we see what actually comes from these negotiations. Now, my feeling is that any economic problem can be resolved if the will is there, and the will to maintain the euro seems really very, very strong. And I think they're probably right in wishing to do that, but the debt numbers are terrifying, as we all know. And this is going to drag on. It's going to drag on for a very, very long term, for a very, very long time. But if Europe was just able to trundle along with a rather low, uninspiring rate of growth that we had seen last year, for instance, and that would be a very good thing for the global economy overall. It's the question really is, does Europe break up under the euro? I think probably not. But the greater risk is that euro slides into a Japan type of situation. A lot of people have talked about that possibly happening with the United States. I've got a report that I'm posting on that, which is good report from Deutsche Bank, which I'll post this evening, which discusses that from the standpoint of a debate. And it's a very interesting, extremely interesting report. I commend it to you. My own hunch is that the risk of the so-called Japan Redux is greater for Europe than it is for the USA, and I've explained why, so I don't need to go into that now. In terms of market action overall, the U.S., which is the most important market, is really quite firm relative to what's taking place elsewhere. This up one day and down one day, if that were to continue at these levels, that would be positive, indicating that the overbought condition was being unwound with an equal amount of demand coming in a consolidation. But it'll take more than 3, 4 days to know if that's actually the case. So there's some risks here in the near term, as I've been pointing out this week since I returned from my travels. Now, in terms of long-dated government bond prices, they've been ranging, and that's not surprising, ranging below their recent highs, having had a very powerful move to the upside. And it's not surprising that they would range against the background of the stock market rally that we have seen. And I think they'll often take their cue from the stock market rally. But yields aren't going, prices rather, bond yields are not going to come down very much, or yields move up all that much, in my view, while the European situation is still alarming investors around the world. On a long-term basis, unless one really does believe that the U.S. and in particular is moving into a Japan-type situation, then I think yields have to rise, and they would rise because central banks err very much on the side of inflation in order to avoid deflation. Now, I know that the ECB isn't allowed to do that, but these things are all negotiable when push comes to shove. Okay. What about precious metals? Well, the performance is not, it's largely one of ranging activity, but there's no indication that I can see that we're about to resume the strong upward trend in gold, for instance, that we were seeing for much of the year up until its acceleration into August. And as veteran subscribers will know, and anyone who's taken the chart seminar, that acceleration is always an ending of an unspecified duration. Now, we're still above the 200-day moving average, but the other precious metals, silver, platinum, palladium, have slipped below those 200-day moving averages. So there has been some technical deterioration in the sector generally. I don't think this indicates that the bull run is over, but we're seeing the timing of all this activity is different from what we've seen earlier in the last decade, because we're getting this underperformance during what is normally a strong seasonal period, although 2008 was also an exception. And we had gold moving strongly to the upside during a period when it was seasonally, it's tended to be quite quiet. So it's gone off-piste, as it were, or it's diverged from the script that we were seeing. At 4Money, our long-term view on gold has always been that this was a secular bull market, that it has further to go, and that it would end in a mania. We haven't seen the mania. We've seen increasing optimism as the price has moved higher, not surprisingly. So I'm strongly inclined to feel that this is a medium-term consolidation prior to some additional gains in the months ahead. Industrial metals, we're getting a reset in terms of commodity prices for the industrial metals, and we're also getting a reset in terms of food price inflation. That's very good news for the global economy because it will lower inflation pressures. Crude oil, though, is the most important commodity by far, and it's still firmer than we would like to see overall, although the Brent has been declining in a channel. It's up near the upper line of that channel right now, and I would not like to see Brent break its progression of lower rally highs that we see right now. I'm a little bit surprised that it's higher today, because we had the news of Gaddafi's death in Libya, and to the extent that that makes it easier for foreign contractors to move in to help the Libyans restore their oil production facility, that would be good for the global economy and take off some of the upward pressure on oil prices that we're currently seeing. And it's Europe that consumes the Libyan crude, so that would be reflected in the Brent price. But that did not happen in here today. But overall, commodities have been trending a bit lower, and as I say, that's a positive overall, and I hope that trend continues. But where does it leave us? In a bit of limbo here, with mostly ranging markets. When stock markets have their nervy periods, that provides opportunities to nibble. We prefer the higher yielders, the dividend aristocrat type companies. We would avoid the ultra high yielding shares. There are a number of them in Europe, for instance, with their utilities, for instance, but they tend to be landlocked. We prefer the companies that have good growth, which those utilities don't. We prefer the dividend aristocrats that have multinational businesses, so they can benefit from the world's stronger economies. Classic example of that, although it's not one of the dividend aristocrats, but it's raised its dividend and has a good yield still, is Royal Dutch Shell. But that's, which I've mentioned on a number of occasions, but that incidentally has rallied right up to the higher side of its overall range. I still think it's a terrific long-term situation, but I wouldn't chase these shares. I would prefer to buy when we see a little bit of easing. And I think that's pretty much it here in terms of today's activity and outlook. So, all the best to all of you.